Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. We'll have a gay old time. Hey everybody, I'm Zach Birchie. Welcome to ANCAST. Joining me this week are three co-founders from the, I think it's safe to say and fair that it's controversial, but a quite popular blog, Colony Drop, which you can find at colonydrop.com. And joining us are David Cabrera, who writes the Astro Toy column for us over at Anime News Network. Hey, David.
Hi, everybody.
And Jeff is here as well. Hi, Jeff.
Howdy.
And Sean is joining us, too. So right off the bat, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate having you guys on. You know, the blog's pretty popular, and I've been meaning to do a show with you guys for a little while.
Good to be here.
All right. Mm-hmm. So let me know, how did this get started? When and why did you decide to start Colony Drop?
Well, we were all internet buddies on an IRC channel for an old defunct video game website, Insert Credit. Some of you might remember it. Anyway, we used to constantly wind up, whatever we were discussing, talking about Gundam. And we would talk and talk and talk about Gundam, usually Zeta. And people would say to us, hey, man, you guys are always talking about Gundam. Cut it out. Cut it out. Stop it. And as a result of us realizing we were talking so much to each other about Gundam, we started on something that would eventually become Colony Drop, the blog.
Okay. That can't be the only thing, though, because looking at your mission statement here, on the front page, if you click About, the top item is anime blogging sucks, and then
it goes on
to say that we.
It definitely does.
It says if the internet is such a great tool, and I'm reading straight from the site here, for expressing opinions and ideas that can't be found in more mainstream publications, then why is anime fandom so brain dead and vapid? We can't answer that, but we can show you that it doesn't have to be that way. We can't stop people from creating awful anime sites, but we can make one that doesn't suck. So it sounds like this came from a conversation about how much you hate other anime blogs.
I don't know if it really did, to be honest. I think
it evolved into that eventually.
Dave had his own website, and Jeff had started a blog, and eventually one of us said, hey, why don't we do a group blog? And that was kind of how it started. I don't think it was necessarily started with that intention, but it quickly became, hey, wait a minute, we could not suck at this.
Okay.
Extended exposure just kind of jades a person. I had done a couple things for Sean beforehand, as a matter of fact. So the idea of pooling it together, so to speak, was definitely something we'd been kicking around for a while. As for the whole we mad thing, we mad. I think it's fair enough to say. I think we come out and say so. why? Why, though? One of the rotating banners says, click here for Sean's scathing, aimless attack. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just rage. Sean, is it just rage?
It's not just rage.
Is it just anger? Are we just like...
It's at least 70% rage and anger, I think. I don't think we started being angry, but I think that we quickly became angry.
But I think we channel that rage. I think we channel that rage into fun.
Certainly.
And I think anime makes a lot of people mad. And... Yeah. I think that in a way, in maybe a twisted and awful way, we provide a channel for other anime fans, but we'll get into SOS later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, I mean, you're correct in that there's a lot of awful anime blogs out there. But one thing I am sort of curious is what do you guys see out there that particularly kind of gets you going and makes you think, like, we can do better than this?
I know everything. Sean has an RSS reader full of that. Sean?
Yeah, everything. I would say that the idea that blogging requires a lot of screen captures or that it requires a lot of episode opinions is just... I don't even know where to begin, to be honest.
Or synopses.
It's kind of boring is what it is.
It is very boring. Like, fundamentally, anime fans, when they write about anime, they tend to be incredibly boring about it. And I think that maybe we just want to not be boring about it. I don't even know if it was an intentional thing, but it was just an idea that we cannot be boring. We cannot just write about, oh, this episode was so great because of blah, 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 whatever. Fuck this. It was a matter of, hey, maybe we could just make this entertaining for the fact that it was entertaining.
The kind of blustery speeches that we do are really the fire under our asses. That's like the proven method that we have. Talk shit and then attempt to live up to it. And the attempting to live up to it is the hard part. Talking shit's incredibly easy. I could talk tons. I just don't, because then I'd have to live up to it.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I started reading a lot more of other anime blogs once we started doing this, and that was really what became the thing that drives me. Is I look at some of these other blogs and I would see just people. I don't mean to trash anyone in particular at the moment, because I have a lot of examples, but I would read some of this stuff and I would just think, you know, I don't want to put down anyone who's, you know, doing this thing for fun for themselves. It's a fun thing to do, to talk about the cartoons they like, but a lot of them, it seemed like there was no particular desire to actually say anything, to even look particularly in depth at the cartoons they're watching. I guess it sounds kind of silly to say you should take cartoons seriously, but it just felt like all popular blogs that people would link to and such were doing would be just talking about, like, you know, how great this thing they just saw was. Like, not great, like, as in, you know, talking about elements they really liked. Just like, you know, oh, wow, this episode was amazing because this character was in it. And this character, you know, they did a thing. And they just post, like, week after week, a dozen screenshots and talking about what happened in the show.
But, Jeff, I love Golgo 13.
Well, I mean, it always strikes me this way. And one thing I've noticed, specifically at the blogs you're talking about, where it's a bunch of screenshots and then followed by, this was good, A+. It's almost as sort of categorically box-driven as anime production itself. Weird Mobius strip, where it's like, this show is created with a checklist of, here's what the otaku want. They want a girl with pigtails, they want a cat girl, they want whatever they want. They got the checklist, they make a show that fits that checklist, and then the otaku then categorize what they're watching in this little checklist box. And a lot of those blogs seem exactly like that's what they're doing, where it's like, here's the checklist of stuff I like. Yay, next episode.
Yeah, it's almost like the I'm trying to think of, maybe it's like, I'm not gonna say this, I'm gonna make Sean mad because he's a car guy, but it all seems like the car review model of talking about a creative form. You know, it's like, okay, it has this feature, this feature, this feature, it's good at this, you know, this thing rocks, you know. It's not particularly interesting. It's just a list of, you know, this fits my quote requirements.
I think of it as inadvertently becoming like the end of the assembly line, you know what I mean? Step one of the assembly line being Twin Tails, and step 10 of the assembly line being me or Jeff or Sean saying, man, Twin Tails own.
Well, I think a big part of it is that none of the writing is ever that interesting, and that's the thing you're talking about might be interesting, but the writing itself is never particularly interesting. It's never particularly entertaining, or it's educational. It's just people saying, this is great, I love this, or I don't like this. And there's no personality to any of it. And that's kind of...
I like to read interesting writing about anime I hate, actually.
Yeah. I think that you have a lot of things with these kind of... with nerd topics, I think it applies to video games too, is that you have people that just write about things and they don't really ever say it in an interesting manner. It's just a matter issue of, oh, this is great, this sucks, I love this because of this. But it's never really, like, you never really read it because it's entertaining or because it's hilarious. And I think part of that was because we wanted to actually be entertaining about what we were talking about.
Well, at the same time, this proves, I mean, this really does kind of prove something about that kind of writing, because I have yet to see one of those blogs, the episode by episode, yay, I love this blogs, ever generate any significant amount of interest or traffic or users or any kind of audience.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Maybe I would be surprised, but...
There are blogs that are popularity about 100 times over, which do that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, how many of them are there? What percentage?
What's enough? Five or six.
Five or six out of how many?
Yeah, out of a zillion.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, though, is that the people who... That might be serving a particular audience, but it's not a very big audience. And I think what you guys have done is you've taken, you're saying, okay, we're going to be interesting, we're going to be thought-provoking, we're going to be what's the, you know, controversial. We're going to try and attract attention by being interesting and by having interesting writing. And you've generated an audience that way. And while there might be a few of these blogs out there that that get a whole bunch of people going, yay, that was great, and they get 58 comments or whatever, you're doing it the old-fashioned way, which is by actually being an interesting writer and producing content people actually want.
We hope that's the case.
So I guess I'm saying cream rises to the top, and the rest, you know, kind of sits at the bottom. And most of those blogs, 90% of them, 95% of them, there's not a single comment on 200 posts.
Well, yes, this is often the case.
A lot of the comments are just kind of, you look at a lot of the more popular anime blogs, and they're just kind of circle jerking each other off. That it's like, oh wow, your opinions are really great. I really appreciate how much you appreciate that lowercase x, uppercase d. And it's like, you guys are all fucking stupid. Like, this is not interesting. This is basically all you guys are doing are just sitting around jerking each other off in a circle, and nothing particularly is interesting or hilarious. And I think ultimately what you want to be is to be funny. I mean, fundamentally, it is just cartoons. You realize that is that nothing is that serious about cartoons. It's not like we're dealing with people dying or people being in a real life situation. It is just a matter of entertainment. And a lot of these blogs just don't, I think, understand that. They take it too seriously, or they take it seriously in the wrong kind of way.
Well, I think for a lot of these people, and I would hesitate to call them stupid. I mean, everybody's got their guilty pleasure. Everybody's got what they want to do at the end of their crappy work day. And they want to come home and jerk each other off on an anime blog. Fine, you know, that's good, great for them. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily go down the road of these people are idiots.
I would.
I guess you would, but yeah.
The final destination of the blog is the circle jerk.
I definitely would. It is the circle jerk, and there are a lot of circle jerk blogs. And if you look at them, they have like 70 comments, and it's like, that's a lot of comments for a blog that just isn't that interesting, or that just didn't really say that much.
Well, and the comments aren't worth reading.
Most bizarre of the blogs that Sean finds tend to have like 9 or 10 comments, and you can kind of tell, you know, they're lifers. They're cheering our hero on, so to speak. But I guess I can't get the cheering our hero on without getting to SOS again, so I'll leave it there.
Yeah, so all these blogs exist, and so you started Colony Drop because you weren't seeing enough like that out there, or anything else like that out there, or there wasn't enough of it out there for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We were trying to find, I think, like-minded fans also, which has happened. Our comment section is looking like that. That there weren't websites that sort of were on our personal wavelength, and when there isn't something out there on your own wavelength, well, the only way to fix the problem is to shove yourself out there.
Obviously.
Right. But you're not saying that this other stuff... Well, maybe you are saying that this other stuff, these other blogs, should be somehow wiped out or removed.
Well, the title of our blog is Colony Drop, and it is a destructive action. What are we dropping the colony on? It's even gotten to this point where when I'm having conversations with people who are in the in-group, who are in on the whole thing, we say things like, oh man, did you hear? Yamakon just dropped a colony on those dudes. So I guess it's an act of mass destruction on the fandom?
Okay.
I think I can settle on that.
That's the intent then.
I can be that guy.
I don't think we necessarily...
I can wear the Char outfit.
I don't think we necessarily started with that idea, though. I don't think we necessarily started with the idea of...
Oh, no. We started with the idea because somebody owned that domain name.
No, yeah.
It was really just fortuitous.
It's just been sitting there.
Yeah, a friend of ours owned a domain name, and we were like, hey, why not do a blog with that? I don't think it necessarily started as a huge effort to destroy other blogs or anything. But
Sean, what was the other domain name?
I don't know, the one
before Colony Drop.
Was there another one before Colony Drop?
It was Destroy Tokyo.
Yeah, that was my own website.
What was the one before that, Sean? Dead Otaku.
Those are all my personal websites, so those weren't necessarily...
Yeah, I know. I'm just joshing you, dude.
But
wow, so pattern emerges.
I don't know
what you're talking about, Zach. I don't know.
Well, so, I mean, So you guys talk about this in sort of a very jocular sort of, yeah, we just wanted to have writing that we wanted to read, and we wanted to talk about this stuff in an entertaining way that actually went a little in-depth. But there is a nihilistic element here that is very, that is like, you guys are all dumb fuckers, we're going to show you how to do it right.
And well, that just comes out of being an anime fan.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
hey, look, I got a police station in forums all day. I know what that's like.
Right?
But you guys are notorious. And that sort of brings me to my next topic, which is, how do you feel about the reputation you've earned? Because you kind of have a reputation of being a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that in relation to how you describe what your mission is?
I'm pretty content with that reputation, frankly. I think Jeff and Sean are going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is, yeah, we are jocular, we are jokey, and we always were. So for us, the negative reaction, it almost seems like outsized to our intentions, but also very funny, so we keep doing what we do. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you feel when you get a negative reaction from people you respect? Or have you ever?
Oh, that's happened. That's certainly happened.
Has it really? I don't think it really has.
With Carl Horn.
Carl Horn sent me an awesome email about my Ava 2.0 review, so I'm really not that inclined.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy with Shit Otaku Say, I don't think.
Yeah, no, was it about...
He was pumped by my review of Eva 2.0, and that's all I really cared about.
So in your opinion, you have eternally gained his respect, and there's no reason to think about anything past that. Okay.
Well, let me think about that, though.
Well, I'm just curious, because I know, like, you guys are pretty aggressive on Twitter, and you always maintain that it's a secret who runs the Twitter, but that Twitter feed... As funny as it is, and as occasionally accurate as it is, I mean, you guys are, well, yeah, sometimes, I mean, hey, sometimes it's not accurate, sometimes you guys are just being assholes, or purposefully reductive, but it's, I mean, I know people who, writers I respect who have said, like, what is with those guys, why are they so mean, and, you know, why are you guys so mean on Twitter?
Well, I think, because ultimately, a lot of people in the anime industry are just... Well, people that are basically riding in that situation are just so concerned about not treading on each other's toes, and fundamentally, it's just not that interesting.
Right.
Is it basically, if you're just being all friends, what's the point? I mean, ultimately, we're not all going to be friends. We're not all going to be agreeable with what everyone else says. Why not make it slightly more interesting? And frankly, there's at least 8 people, I think, that have access to the Twitter feed at this point.
Has anyone ever crossed the line and some of you thought, like, you went too far with this?
Mostly me, probably.
Yeah.
It's mostly me.
But, not gonna lie.
But the point is that I think ultimately that being too nice to people is just not that interesting, and we're not that interested in being super friendly and super supportive to each other. And the fact that people believe us when we're writing, or that when we say that we're going to be the new, you know, a news website for fucking mangafox.com, like, that's retarded. You have to be legitimately stupid to believe that that's
clearly a joke, though. I mean,
that is clearly a joke. And it's
but
like
it
that
wasn't necessarily taken as such. And no, it actually pissed off quite a few folks, as I recall.
Yeah, I mean...
I'll raise my hand, say that was one of mine.
That was definitely David's idea. My idea was Stormfront, but apparently that was not appropriate.
Yeah, we decided to go
too far.
That would have made me laugh even harder.
But I think ultimately...
We decided to go for a more in-groupy evil group.
But I think ultimately you have people... I mean, most of us are just trying to kind of entertain ourselves. And that you have the fact that people that in the anime industry are so kind of... So self-contained that they don't really understand those jokes that we're trying to make. Or maybe that they don't... appreciate the fact that we're trying to make fun of ourselves. I don't think people really get the fact that we kind of make fun of ourselves, and that's just not...
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, a rabid, stupid dog let loose in a small town, I guess.
Well, you mentioned, like, some people in the industry, and I gotta say, like, I don't know anyone in the industry who would not get it, who wouldn't understand, like, that you're joking.
But maybe we're thinking more in terms of the... rather than the industry, because I think most industry people are cool with us. Isn't that right, Ed? Most of the
to an extent, I would say. I know you've angered some, but things that they got angry at were clearly insults.
Yeah, but what's extended out from just like industry to like what I think Sean's getting at, which is like the writing about anime kind of part of the industry,
the blogosphere,
quote unquote journalism part.
Oh, okay.
Which will include bloggers in. Part of the fun for Twitter for me there is that a lot of these people will talk on these services. You know, they will open themselves up on these services and make themselves accessible in a way that they otherwise might not be. And sometimes you can get very interesting responses out of people because they've got this Twitter thing open on their desk while they're at work or whatever, and you can provoke them in a good or bad way into an instant response on a topic. And that's something that we basically cannot resist the urge to do.
And some manga fox.
Manga fox.
So, yeah, and I have noticed that rather than, you know, constantly trying to troll Funimation or whatever, you do tend to go after people who are at least paid journalists, people who work for sites where they're paid to write there.
Well, remember, we're still trying to get our review copies from Funny.
Right. Let's face
any
it,
day now.
We could pick on Funimation all day, but you know what? They're not going to respond to us. It's not very entertaining.
No.
We did it in the early days, I'm pretty sure.
I think one thing that's important to realize is that in this industry, very few people, I think probably Zach and a few other people, are probably one of the very few people that actually make a living off of this actual industry. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of people that live off of anime in the U.S. at this point.
No, that's why.
Just so you know, ANN cast readers, I mean, I'm part-time.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people actually make money off of anime. And I think we kind of realize that, and it's just... None of us really have a misconception of the fact that we're going to, maybe we could, endear ourselves to all these people and eventually find a full career in this anime industry.
John, what are you talking about? You know that I've been working on an email to send Zach, and he's going to turn my idea into anime.
It happens all the time.
Make comments in the ANN, toy column, but... The point is that no one really makes money off of this, or very few people actually make money off of this, and I think we kind of realize that, and it's kind of worth... It's like, why not just say what you think? Because ultimately, you're not really going to make money off of it. You're not really going to make your living off of this kind of stuff.
But at the same time, if you're kind of puncturing or picking at the people who could hire you, which is... maybe you haven't really done that much, but...
Aside from ANN, who have we really done that from? Like... There are probably
Danny Chu.
Less than a handful.
Danny Chu could theoretically hire us all, but not anymore.
Danny Chu could theoretically do a lot of things, but
we'll get to Danny.
I'm sure it's on the menu.
We'll get to Danny.
There's a very few number of people that could theoretically hire us and actually give us money for things, and I think ANN is one of those very few companies that can actually do that.
There's a few more of them now. We've seen a couple more pop up in the last couple of months.
And how many of them involve Patrick Macias?
One. Chris Bevers just started his new site. I don't know if he's hiring or not, but my point is, what I'm sort of driving at is, are you ever concerned, are any of you actually looking at this as a potential career that, and you're not at all concerned that this might damage your prospects of getting work? Because even if you haven't targeted anyone who could potentially hire you, they could look at this and say, you got pretty nasty stuff. I don't really want you as part of my publication. It sounds like nobody's really
that
concerned.
It's absolutely possible. But I don't think any of us think of it on those terms.
Most of us are just going to go for the usual anime fan retirement method, which is to get a job in IT and then write about this on the side, which I'm pretty sure is roughly half of the people on Twitter.
It's more than half.
Yeah,
I would 35%.
I'd pin it at 80%. I think people would come home from their IT jobs.
I love that I'm doing this as a thing, but I don't think the means exist for a lot of people, or even very few people, to make it their full time thing. Yeah. So for me, even in theory, that whole idea kind of goes on the back burner, where I'm worried about employment in the field because I frankly don't really see it.
Yeah.
I mean, would you if you could, though?
I would totally consider it.
In a better world, right?
Right.
If someone wanted to give us money for writing clone jobs, that'd be awesome, but I don't really see that ever happening. I don't really see people ever being that willing to give us money for
We could just cover the page of J-List ads. I mean, sex toys bring in how much a month?
Just start loading up the page with porn and then pass off...
we could definitely do porn.
Yeah. pass off a bunch of hentai CG as a news item, and there you go.
We're not opposed to selling out. I will say that.
No, absolutely. Call us up, you know, hit us up on Twitter if you're interested in us selling out to you. And if you enjoyed Redline, I recommend Tanga's fine products, which you can buy at the J-List link to the right on your page. We can absolutely do that. I just did it.
So as for your reputation and hype and controversy aside, the actual content on the site, the reason that you do get attention for it is because it's good. The writing is good, and you're writing about interesting things in an interesting way, but a lot of it does focus on the same things that this sort of old-school internet crowd tends to focus on. Your Mike Tools, your Patrick Macias, your Daryl Surratt's, your Justin Savakis's. It's generally the same kind of stuff, so you guys kind of fall into... I mean, maybe this is unfair to put you in that box, but sort of an old-school taste.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. That's the stuff we grew up getting into.
That's our fan service.
Yeah.
Right. So that's generally just the stuff that catches your eye most often. Have you ever thought, like, maybe we should be writing about more modern stuff, or is it just whatever catches your eye, that's what you're going to write about?
Yes, we actually kind of had a push for that.
We have been writing about a lot more recent stuff recently.
Yeah, I saw that.
We've done a lot more reviews on more recent things.
The most recent post, actually, is a glowing review of this season's current otaku hit, which is, of course, Madoka Magica. Right. And Sean is very torn on that fact.
I'm not torn at all. I can
you would never watch that.
I don't care either way, to be honest.
You sound like, Sean, you sound like maybe you've got a little bit more of a little bit more rigidly old school taste. And so, while it doesn't bother you that review's there, it personally, it's kind of like, well, maybe I wish we didn't do that or something like that.
No, not even that. I have a hard time caring about anything that was made after 1995. And I think that fundamentally, yeah. it's not an issue with me being upset about it. It's just I have a hard time caring about it. And I don't really...
When I prod Sean like this, it's always with that in mind. I'm just saying, Sean, 1995, you know.
Post-post. 1995 is kind of the cutoff, is it? Anything after Macross Plus, fundamentally, I just don't care that much.
Well, you know, Evangelion didn't finish airing, I think, until 96. So
that's true.
Might be in a little trouble there.
So the finish line is now end of Eva.
Pretty much, yeah. Anything beyond that, I just don't give a shit. And I think fundamentally, for me, it just isn't that interesting. But for everyone else, it's interesting.
And so the contribution to the site and the way it's run and the editorial standard, quote unquote, is very open to the people you've included in your inner group. So there's no one person who gets to decide what we are and are not going to write about.
Oh, yeah.
There's absolutely no control. Most of the articles go up when two or three people in the chat room say to each other, oh, hey, this piece is up. Let's do it now. Let's throw it up there.
And then we hope to God we didn't miss any really embarrassing spelling errors before we put it up.
Which we often do, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, there's usually like five or six little edits in the first 5 minutes of hitting the publish button.
Ah, we're awful guys, what can I say? One of the things I was going to say about Sean and the year 1995 is that a lot of the fights that we end up having on Twitter or in the comments section or in blog responses are just about the right to not want to watch an anime. Anime fans seem to think that you don't have the right not to enjoy their stuff for whatever reason you want. And we have to take that in the context that, well, it's just entertainment. It is silly. And I can irrationally dislike whatever I choose to irrationally dislike. It's not the anime fan's obligation, and it's not my obligation to listen to somebody's argument and then decide, you know what? I love K-On. A lot of folks seem to think this is the case. Like, you must have done something wrong. How did you watch such and such and not buy the hug pillow? How'd you do it, man? And I haven't yet bought the hug pillow, is all I'm saying.
Well, at the same... I mean, you described that as irrationally disliking something.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not irrational. You don't like Can because it's not funny and it's boring.
That's true.
Those are great reasons to not like Can. That's not irrational at all.
Even if it's something spectacular that I don't care about at all.
Well, give me an example. Like something that's really good that you irrationally dislike. That you know objectively, you can say in your heart of hearts, like you can watch Citizen Kane and acknowledge that it's a really great film, but personally you weren't entertained by it or didn't really like it that much personally. But you can still acknowledge that it's really good.
I'm trying to think of one now.
It's hard.
Irrationally, didn't I? I gotta cover my ass now.
I'm just saying, I think the like is more irrational than the dislike on something right. Can.
I do have my reasons for disliking a thing, and Jeff and Sean certainly do as well. Jeff, I heard you don't like that show, Durr.
Yeah, that one is, I'll give, is kind of an irrational dislike on my part. It's like, I liked Bacchino, and I'm watching Durr, and I'm like, you know, there's just something is not clicking with me here. And I was really disappointed with that show over there. It's like, here's a show where I should be digging this, and I'm just watching it, and I'm like, you know what? Just not doing it for me.
Yeah, no, that's a little bit more understandable, and you can acknowledge that the show is not a bad show, it's just not for you.
Right, that's sort of what I'm getting at. The right to say, not for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, a lot of people are really, they can't grasp that. But then again, these are people who sort of are allergic to criticism of any kind.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what you guys...
One of the reasons we go so hard. Disease.
I think that's a fundamental problem with people that just... absolutely refuse to accept any sort of criticism about what they love and what they really appreciate. And the idea that if you have any sort of criticism for what you like or for what you appreciate, that you're somehow a douchebag.
Right.
Basically, it's like the idea if you point out that it's flawed.
You attack this thing I like, so you're attacking me, is the way the logic goes.
Right.
Yeah, well, there's a section of anime, and this is absolutely not at all unique to anime fandom. It exists in every kind of fandom, in people who only go to the movies once a month or once a year or something like that. They do not want to think. It's an anti-intellectual streak. They don't want to think about what they're watching. They don't want to criticize what they're watching. They just want to have a good time. They're dedicated to having that good time. They go and watch a crappy movie and they walk out going, well, it was okay. And you're like, what? Well, it was terrible. It had all these plot holes. And they're like, yeah, you're being a snob. And it's an anti-intellectual.
Rotten Tomatoes comment section is gorgeous for things like that.
Right, and anime fandom has a segment of people like that, and they're very vocal.
So, in going back to are we too mean? When I see those attitudes in such full force in the fandom, and when I read a post along those lines, I say to myself, "Nah, we're not too mean. Yeah. Let's lay it on. Let's go." Yeah.
They probably deserve it.
Right. So
they absolutely deserve it.
Like, so it is a reaction to this streak that you see in anime fandom where people are, you know, desperately defending and fawning all over something like Mayoi Neko Overrun or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but point out, like, this is garbage and here's why, and they just get upset with you as though you've just told them that their mother is a whore or something.
Oh, don't you have that experience every season, Zach?
I do.
Three times over?
Yes, I do.
I hear Astronaut's Toy is a great show.
So do I, unfortunately.
You hear it frequently.
So, I want to talk a little bit about this because I believe it was last year, you guys won a blog tournament for...
We lost.
Yes, we won.
Did you lose? Okay,
We won, but we lost.
You won by...
We claimed victory, I believe. We seized victory.
Okay. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this because the anime blogosphere, everyone hates that word, but it is the word we use now, it has a really high amount of drama in it. And that sort of thing, I wanted to know, like, do you only participate to fuck with it? Is it just...
We didn't really participate at all, to be honest.
Well, but you wrote about it. And you called attention to it, and you...
After it was over.
Long over.
Right.
Long over.
Okay.
We declared victory.
Right. But is the intention just to sort of, again, sort of puncture, put a hole in it, and say, like, this is silly and ridiculous, and why is the blogosphere like this?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I I think we found out what someone tweeted us about this, like back when the anime blog turn was happening, and we were looking at
it. Yes, when it was really in the thick of it.
Right. And we were just watching this, and we quickly realized that we should say absolutely nothing about it and let it ride, you know. And a bunch of our Twitter followers would get in like these wars with other people about voting for or against College Dropout. Keep in mind, that was the perspective. It was a contest technically between our blog and some other blog that I've completely forgotten about. But the contest turned out into, if you read the comments feeds, if you read Twitter, it wasn't a contest between which is the better blog, Colony Drop or this other poor bastard. It was, do you like Colony Drop or do you hate Colony Drop? And you vote appropriately.
And yeah, one of the depressing things about that was that after the tourney, when, of course, the other blog won that round of the tourney because the nay vote was much higher than the... Well, they edged each other out. But the person makes a post that was very genuine and very, you know, thank you guys all for voting for me. I'm so glad everybody came out in force. And then the comments and reality sets in as a small parade of angry anime bloggers tells this person, hey, listen, we weren't voting for you. We were voting against Colony Drop. Get it straight.
And we just thought that was a really dick move. I mean, and we're dicks. Sucks.
We thought that was worse than us.
Yeah, you guys are jerks, and you wouldn't. I don't think you would do that.
I still wouldn't kick that puppy.
that's mean. Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, along this line, you guys do occasionally take aim at certain bloggers on the site.
Yep.
You certainly satirize plenty of people.
We have an award series.
Does it?
But to be honest, the people that we award with those awards, we kind of genuinely appreciate.
Well, but does it take a certain... what does it take? Like, do you really have to get your hackles raised by someone? Or is it sort of like this person is kind of an easy target? Let's take him down?
It's more like the extreme, extreme fringe. Like, Sean goes through so many RSS feeds... that when something impresses him, he tells us. And when something impresses us, I mean, it was just a matter of time before we were giving out a Most Dangerous Blogger of the Year award, considering the kind of stuff we get to read.
Well, for those guys, it is genuinely entertaining. When you reach that point of just being that entertaining and that ridiculous with the way that you blog, there's no way you can't really be angry at those people. I mean, you can't really be upset with, okay, those guys are ridiculous. Like, you have to just appreciate the fact that those guys are so ridiculous, they're so entertaining.
They've entered another world.
Yes.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. We love the hell out of the vlogs we choose for Most Dangerous Blogger. We love those guys. They provide
us with tons
of entertainment. We read them regularly. We're still reading some of our previous winners. You know, we find them incredibly entertaining. Now, we don't mean this in a mean way. Swear to God, we mean this genuinely. We love you guys.
It's impossible to express that sentiment, though.
You can't even dislike them because they're so entertaining. It's not a matter of being okay. You guys suck or you guys are terrible, but it's like you guys are so entertaining and you guys are so ridiculous. How can you not appreciate that?
Yeah, I mean, I have plenty of people that I read that I laugh at and say you're awesome and please don't stop doing this. But I am amused by them. It's not legitimate. It's ironic. I mean, I'm not going to pretend.
I find the line ironic appreciation and genuine appreciation is a very thin one at the best of times. At some point, it's better to just let it ride.
I know that my line is constantly moving.
Right. one thing I wanted to cut two things before we get to Twitter. You guys started out sort of purposefully using quote unquote offensive phrases for anime and manga, and not the usual boring animu and mango thing that it's been around forever. But I believe you were specifically using the word Japtoons.
That was mostly me.
That's Jeff's fault.
Was that just like, look at me, I'm edgy? Because it's pretty hacky.
Absolutely not out of any kind of malice. It was as the phrase Oriental animated video. It was like this. Just how bizarre can we get with the anime naming phenomenon? You know, the insistence on the term anime and the resulting fights that people would get in over anime versus cartoon.
Yeah.
And you used to sit there and think about naming. and we used to think about what would be really ridiculous to call something. And yeah, those phrases came out. At this point, I feel like we've run the joke through and to the ground. But mm-hmm. I'll use cartoon all the time.
Yeah, I've pretty much cut it back to just cartoon now. The point has been made. I might still use Japanimation though. I always like that one. I
well, Japanimation's good. Yeah, it's for grown-ups. It implies so many things.
It's not kid stuff.
It's definitely not kid stuff.
Certain sophisticated gentlemanly air. Oh yes, I enjoy the animations though. Japanimations.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I mean, I get the point you were making, but I am glad that you're not using that anymore.
I was always a little worried that somebody, you know, would be made sad by it. But
people absolutely got upset about it.
Oh, no, you guys got plenty of crap for that.
People absolutely got so furious about and the Oriental video animation thing. People absolutely got furious about that.
I think people were madder about the word cartoon than either of those two phrases, though.
That was the impression I got. I think of the complaints I saw, I can think maybe of like one or two people I saw who were actually upset about the Jap part versus the cartoon part.
But well, you're treading a fine line with racism there. Like, you're really treading a fine line. It's hard
I can see that. You know, I'll give you that one. That one was a little close.
There's absolutely a reason we abandoned it.
Depending on what you are, though. I mean, you have to consider that in large parts of Europe and Australia, Jap is not necessarily that offensive. It is considered just, they just say Jap a lot.
Well, go ahead and post that as your reason for saying it, and we'll see how popular that is.
I'm not necessarily saying that Europeans...
We don't have to post it. We just said it on the podcast. Right.
But I'm saying that I have had a strange amount of people that from Australia or Europe that have said, Jap, that. And it is weird for me. I think it's weird for us as Americans, where it comes across as very offensive, obviously. But in other parts of the world, it is not necessarily as offensive. Maybe not necessarily to Japanese people, but to white people in other parts of the world, it's not that offensive.
Right, okay.
I'm not saying that's an excuse, but...
I think the slice of people who will get what you were going for is probably smaller than the people who will just be offended by it.
It's possible.
That's sort of the history of Colony Drop.
There you go.
you guys are just misunderstood. More people than we make smile, and you know.
Right. But we didn't really start Colony Drop to make friends, so I'm not really that upset about it.
I started a Colony Drop to win this competition.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make it off this island.
As far as I'm concerned, we're still kind of winning, so whatever.
You just wanted to make it through the otaku elimination game.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, remember that.
The defining conflict of our lives.
People were blogging about that like it was going to, this is going to be the end of the world. And, oh, man.
It's going to change. It changed everything.
How fast did those guys get bored? Was it like, I want to say 3 months they stopped?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 3 months or something like that. So the other thing you guys, one last thing before we get to Twitter. You guys do write a bit about conventions. And
conventions are great.
And I've noticed you have started running panels at conventions locally here. You guys did Anime Los Angeles, and you write a bit about convention culture. And I sort of wanted your ideas on convention culture and what you would do to fix, if they even need to be fixed, if you would even argue that something about them needs to be fixed, about anime conventions, modern anime cons.
Well, as an anime con goer, in your 20s or so, you feel weird. I don't think this is so much a situation that can be fixed as a matter of demographic. Let's face it, the vast majority of people who go to the con are like 100% happy with where they are and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And grumpy dudes like us aren't really going to change the numbers at the con. Yeah. So as far as fixing it, as far as complaints, yeah, I feel like an old guy, and I'm 26.
I mean, I don't think...
Jeff hasn't been to too many.
No, Jeff hasn't
been to a couple of local ones, so I want to go out to something bigger, and I've got... Since I don't have any, like... I have a job, all right? And it pays, all right? Suck on that, Colony Droppers. But, yeah, it's like, I want to go out to something bigger, but I think I missed the window to go to Otakon, because as I understood it, every hotel in the city sold out last year. So that one's probably right out.
The window for Otakon is fall of the previous year.
Yeah. So, maybe if I can, like, you know, borrow someone's couch or something. Someone who's not like a total creep. So I'd have
open
to like
call on AnnCast. Put Jeff on.
Yeah. You know what? You know, if you listen to AnnCast, I probably don't want to stay on your couch, and you probably don't want me. So you know, let's just call that one screwed. Maybe Anime Expo though. I hear flying over from Florida is going to cost me, you know, at least one of my legs. So
cooler on that coast, Jeff? Is that what this is about?
It is. It is better on the West Coast.
Not going to argue with that.
California is pretty much like Florida, except bigger and more sprawly. So I figure, you know, I could just kick back and it'll just be second nature.
Now the weather's much nicer.
It is much nicer.
And the people are chill.
Here in New York, we don't know how to.
We've all seen The Wire, and we all know that Baltimore sucks.
That's true.
Let's be honest.
Well, so
no one wants to spend time in Baltimore.
That's one of the reasons I don't go to Otakon. in terms of what you'd like to see more of at conventions. Is this sort of the same philosophy as the blog, where now you're going to start doing panels that you would be interested in, or you think information people should have, or
when we can? Sure, if I end up going to another con, I would probably want to try and run a panel of some sort, because it does. I think it's a lot like the blog mentality for me. It's if I can't find what I'm looking for on the program, maybe I should try offering it and see if anyone else is interested. You know. Maybe the trick is just to get someone else to bite, and then maybe, you know, then we can take over.
From the inside.
Take over, but you know what I mean.
I'm sure we'll replace Cosplay Burlesque eventually. Just imagine a crowd of that size all lined up to watch that one episode of Bubblegum Crisis again. It'll happen. It'll happen.
I think fundamentally you have people that just don't really care about older anime. They don't really care about the kind of stuff that we want to talk about. And I think that's kind
of
why
we have to put on shows for our niche.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think anime fans are now Teenage Party Weekend with Grumpy Old Guy Contingency.
We're there on the edges.
Right.
It's just that we can legally drink.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I don't want to sound like I'm that down on the anime con thing, because while it's getting less and less my scene every time, you know, for the one, I can't feel too bad about it, because these kids are having a great fucking time. You know what? If I just have to go do something else, like, you know, if I just go, like, go out and party with friends or something for that weekend, you know, am I still having a bad time at the convention? You know, I don't know if that really...
You are.
Technically. I don't know if that's one of my buddies is actually going to ASEN solely to eat at a nice restaurant in the area.
That's
they just happen to have the tickets in the hotel room.
Well, I mean, I'm in 100% agreement there. You know, I've been going for 10 plus years now, and I don't really mind the kids. They're having a good time. If I were 15 and at an anime convention, I'd be doing the same thing. And I have a good time at those shows completely separate from you know, one thing I can say about modern anime cons, they do make it for everybody. I mean, I can go and have a good time, and the kids can go and have a good time, and everybody has a good time. So fuck it, you know. Why bother?
Funny thing about this is, I'm imagining Zach holding up a free hug sign in the hallway.
Let's not do that. Okay, let's go ahead and get to Twitter, because we got a bunch of questions.
Anyway,
Twitter questions. I'm so pumped.
Right. Okay. So Real Car's very basic suggestion: talk about Madoka Magica. So we talked about that a little bit, but David, you were a big fan of this thing.
Oh yeah, I was the one who did the review over on Colony Drop.
That's mostly because he called it before I could, but...
Yeah, I called dibs as soon as I saw the ending. We had to get this done. I enjoyed Madoka Magica. I started out watching it solely on the basis of visuals and saying, I'll watch two or three of this. But it was surprisingly gripping in a I-know-everything-that-is-going-to-happen kind of way. It's hard to exactly explain the appeal of Madoka Magica, but it's absolutely there, and I've noticed that nearly everybody who watched two or three just stayed.
Yeah, it was
no longer a matter of dropping out.
For me, it was probably almost as much a social thing in a sense. It was kind of like watching Lost before it sucked, because like you would get together to talk about and write theories about what you thought was happening in the show, and then basically, you know, check your scorecard later to see how many you got completely right. And, you know,
the best part of the game was that you were always right and you always won.
At least in an Obi-Wan sort of way, I was right. You know, I didn't get all the details, but, you know, Vader did kill Luke's father, so.
Yeah. It was a good time, and one of the reasons I wanted to get that review out there was specifically to say to people that we're not categorically against even that kind of show, or like a 2000s show, or a Magical Girl show, or a Pink show, because our website is Pink.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. We can't be against Magical Girl shows. I fucking love Utena.
That's true.
I mean, my Twitter avatar is Toga there. He's looking fine, I gotta say.
Jeff looks like that, by the way. That's not just some cartoon avatar. I look like Gigantor, so our Twitter avatars are accurate to who we are.
Anyway, so for Madoka Magica, though, it sounds like the review served two purposes. One, you did really want to talk about how much you enjoyed the show, and two, it did kind of say, hey, we're not, like, we're about quality, not necessarily just only appreciating this one type of thing.
Yeah, we don't want to get into this, like, tunnel vision situation, basically, or echo chamber situation, or whatever metaphor you want to use for it.
Right.
Where we're putting forth, like, one thing all the time. This is the only thing that's any good. Even though MD Geist really is, when you come down to it, the only thing that's any good in the world. But that's a philosophical issue.
Okay, I was going to skip this because it is a stupid in-joke, but I realized we were actually becoming full circle on this, because this question was asked on this podcast at Anime Expo last year. But Linkington wants to know how Sean feels about the Star Wars prequels.
Okay, let's be honest. The first two, not that great. The third one, I would say that at the point, I was desperate enough to accept anything.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it went with those movies.
Yeah. It had the Millennium Falcon in the first, in the third one, and it had, you know, Darth Vader over the lava. I think that's good enough.
So basically, two scenes out of a 2.5 hour film.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was how low things were at that point. And I know because I saw them.
I was willing to accept that. I was desperate enough to accept. Okay, whatever you give me, as long as it doesn't completely suck, I'll take that.
I can understand that feeling.
At this point, we just how we, feel about we just Gundam, want right? closure.
Yeah, we just want closure. We just want
just
a beginning.
Let me walk away.
We got to look at the body one more time, and then we're done.
I've waited in line long enough to believe that I can watch something sort of entertaining.
I don't think I waited less than 10 hours in line to see any of those.
I actually did.
No, I just walked in the morning.
Well, I was like, you know, friends want to do the midnight, you know. I did just walk into Indiana Jones, though, so I feel better about that.
The last midnight premiere that my friends dragged me into was Watchmen. I was angry the whole time.
It's a 3-hour movie. I don't think
that movie I saw was Red Wine. Oh, fuck it.
Okay. Cowboy Dev asks, older anime you feel deserves more love and respect. It's kind of half of what you guys write about, so.
We haven't written about older anime in a long time.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that, like 88 series that we did forever ago, and the times we get a random older OVA out of the way. And the thing is, it's tough finding one that I haven't already cheerled to death.
Did we ever actually talk about Royal Space Force? Besides on Twitter, having that little fight. Did we ever actually write about that in the site? I think we all love that.
I don't think we have because it's too intimidating an article, and we all know that
that's true.
We're not strong honest. Enough.
There's a lot of rape in that movie, and there's a lot of rape that ruins the entire value of that movie.
Yeah, Todd Seale like kind of wrote the article about the rape. And
there's a lot of rape, and what's the point of watching the movie if there's any rape whatsoever?
Yeah. And it's like none of us kind of want to navigate that minefield all over again.
Yeah, that's
navigated
that's a good
point. It in chat in times. Though I'm sure one of us will. I have the Blu-ray sitting here in front of me.
I'll download it. I'm not going to pay twice for two HD.
John, how many times did you buy Honey Amy's on VHS?
Zero.
All right. Progshell asks, if your favorite movie was adapted into an anime series, OVA, or movie, who would you want to direct the adaptation? This is a little complicated. So I guess we'll start. Well,
look up some Gonzo directors.
Let me boil this down. So
who did Dragon on?
Your favorite. So we'll start with David. Hang on. We'll start with David. Favorite movie.
Come on.
Favorite movie, and who would you want to direct the anime adaptation? Go right off the top of your head.
All right. Spinal Tap by...
Ouch.
Masami Obari. What? It'd look awesome.
It would.
Okay, Sean.
I'm going to say my favorite movie was Heat, but I'm not really sure how I want to direct it. I'd probably say...
Just have Michael Mann do it again.
Michael Mann, just do it again. It's fine. It's just...
He can do animation, sure. Why not?
Why not?
Cartoon Man.
And Jeff.
Ooh, yeah. I hate to pick a favorite X question, because then I have to spend like 5 minutes trying to think of something. So, let's see. What do I have on a shelf around here? No, I'm just going to say Die Hard. And I'm going to say Kawajiri. Why not?
Ooh.
I would watch that.
That's a good
That would
answer.
Be quite a holy grail.
Definitely watch that. Okay.
Look what he did to the Highlander. I mean, that was watchable.
His Highlander was amazing.
God.
I will give definitely 2 thumbs up to his Highlander.
Okay, J.R. Nimenich brings this up, and, we were going to talk about this a little earlier, but now's as good a time as any. Shit Otaku Say, and the legal trouble that you apparently got in for having this exist.
Oh, this is a good story. This is a good story. Who wants to tell it?
I want to tell the story.
Okay.
Sure, it's much less exciting than we made it out to be, so go.
It always is.
So, I made an amazing title graphic for this. I'm not sure if you realize the importance of the title graphic that I made, but it definitely, I'm curious about it. Basically, we used a cosplay photo from someone's Flickr, and the person whose Flickr who requested that we used that photo, requested that we credited him, and that was it. It was basically just, hey, I want credit for this photo that we used, and that was it.
He sent this as a service request to Tumblr. Apparently, he couldn't find the email button on our Tumblr profile or whatever. So he sent it in as a complaint to Tumblr. And they told us it's something like Friday night that we need to have fixed within 72 hours. And we didn't get the email. We didn't see the email in the staff email because, we did stuff on the weekend. We didn't see
that
until Monday morning when the site was down.
Well, hang on, guys. Before we get into all this, explain what Shit Otaku Say is.
Oh, Shit Otaku Say is the best Tumblr around. It basically came from, again, what we were talking about, the whole most dangerous anime blogger thing, and the fact that we read a lot of bizarre things that anime fans say on the web, and we realized, hey, why don't we just start tossing this up? Why don't we do a Shit My Dad Says for otaku fans? Why not? There's no end of material. And with that in mind, there's no end of material, and it's easy. We put up a website. Oh,
the important thing is that
probably say.
The important thing is that we don't comment on the thing.
No, we don't really have much of an opinion.
We let them stand for themselves, and whatever that quote we found says, it will speak for itself.
We firmly believe that if there was some kind of snarky commentary below it, that would ruin the entire site and turn the whole enterprise unfunny.
I agree, yes.
Yeah.
But
it's not really a matter of making fun of these people. It's a matter of fact that these people are kind of making fun of themselves, and we just present that to everyone else.
Well, the things that people say, I mean.
Things that people say are retarded. These people say fundamentally stupid or ridiculous things, and we just... share that with everybody else.
It is this is what anime fans actually believe of the internet.
Yes. And they actually believe that, and it's embarrassing, frankly.
And so it's not like you got a legal contest from someone who didn't want you reprinting something they'd already said on the internet. It was an image rights issue.
That to happen, it didn't.
It was a matter of someone get upset that we did not share their picture of, or did not properly accredit their picture of some terrible Haruhi cosplayer.
We
credited the fuck out of that, so it's not really an issue.
It was just the timing was weird. We were all out for the weekend and so on. And that was the extent of legal trouble.
Week after that to put the site back up, so, what can you do?
It's back now.
Tumblr took forever. I mean, their entire site is about stealing images. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That was the ridiculous thing, is that finally Tumblr exists to steal images from other people. Is that everything... any Tumblr you ever look at fundamentally steals images from other people.
the people just don't credit it. They just post it. And for whatever reason, people got really upset. Or they got really upset that we did not credit this one person. So that's kind of how it happens.
Okay. All right. Well, people can check that
out. Only
a
kind of exciting story, unfortunately.
It's incredibly unexciting. But it's incredibly
exciting. It's more humorously, what's the word?
Anticlimactic. Dull.
It is incredibly
anticlimactic. That's it. It's humorously anticlimactic.
It is hilarious.
Because when I saw that we were taken down, the first thing that I thought, and I'm sure the first thing that many readers thought, was, oh man, somebody got mad.
Nope.
But it wasn't that.
It doesn't really matter.
When you think about it for even a second, though, that would be utterly ridiculous. Because this is fundamentally something that's already been published on the internet.
It's been published on a public website. There's no reason why anyone could fundamentally be mad about that.
It's as fundamentally ridiculous as the statements on the website itself. And that's why it's believable.
Right. Well, the site is very funny, and I recommend people go check it out.
I recommend it as well.
Wayne, give a look. Don't get mad.
Right.
Don't get mad.
Wayne01 asks, well, here's another favorite question. What is everyone's favorite cartoon show from the last 10 years? Jeff, we'll start with you.
Let's see. From the last 10 years. You know what? Moribito. I like that one. I'm going to say that.
All right, Sean.
We are talking cartoons like animes included, right?
I assume that he means what you say when you say cartoon, which is everything.
Okay, good. Because I don't watch all that much Western animation these days.
Right.
When I saw that question asked, I assumed he meant Western animation. I just said, oh, of course I'll say Adventure Time. So I'm going to say Adventure Time.
Okay.
Waiting for Adventure Time to come out in Japan so I can buy a PVC statue of Marceline the Vampire.
An anime, like one anime from the last 10 years that you...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Last 10 years? It's overhyped and overtalked, but I really think Gurren Lagann is as good as people say it is. As a longtime robot nerd, I really think it's that good a show. It's like a regular robot anime, except they hired a writer this time.
Pretty much.
All right, and Sean?
And probably nothing.
Nothing from the last 10 years. Okay.
Not even Macross Zero, Sean. Not even
Macross Zero. Zero can suck about a million dicks.
It's a lot of dicks.
It's a lot of dicks.
That was the sound of them collapsing into a bowl.
Realcar asks again, what would a live-action sitcom of your Tumblr be like?
That is a good question. Can we get Shatner?
He's been used up.
Can we get Shatner alongside Norio Wakamoto?
I don't know if they've canceled that. I don't know if they canceled that shit yet.
I heard they picked it up for another season. I did actually watch some of that show, and it was...
It's horrendous.
Some of the least watchable TV I've seen in quite some time. Like, people aren't kidding about that show. Ooh, boy.
I figure it can't be any more embarrassing than Tech War.
Come on.
All right.
Tech War should be awful.
Lacuna Craft asks, we talked about this briefly, but specifically, what cons are you guys going to during con season, and which convention is your favorite?
I usually hit up, out of sheer convenience, NYAF, just because I'm in town and it doesn't cost me a lot to get there. I've been doing panels at Icon in Long Island for my friends because it's close to me and I don't have to pay any money. And I do Otakon every year because my friends get a room. All of it is out of convenience. I rarely find myself going out of my way to go to an anime event.
Yeah, it's kind of the same here. I'd like to go out to a bigger show. More importantly, I'd like to go out to a bigger show to hang out with people I know, you know, from across the country, but it hasn't happened yet, so.
As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that I've not hung out with either Jeff or Sean in real life ever.
I think true.
True story.
Definitely the case.
That's kind of sad.
Kind of disappointing, to be honest.
Okay. Well, from V-Guy, everyone's favorite.
Oh, God.
Everyone's favorite.
Here comes.
Jimmy Choo.
He wants to know, how was Danny Choo able to dupe so many mainstream news sources into thinking that he's actually some sort of pop culture expert on Japan? You've written about this before. Then he went on for another 7 or 8 tweets, but Danny Choo.
Boy, so did he.
He went on for a while.
So Danny Choo.
I will say that Danny Choo, I met him in person once, and he was fairly nice.
I hear he's a nice guy. We can't get him on the show, but yeah, I hear he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. At the same time, he's a complete joke. Like, let's be honest.
Well, and my personal impression is that he is selling his personal brand just like his father.
No, absolutely. Like, I think... he's absolutely focusing on making money, and I think he's absolutely focusing his brand on making money. But I don't really think that he's that interesting as a person. I don't really think that he's really that representative as your typical nerd type, and I don't think that he's really that worthwhile as a person to interview. Like, I don't really think he's...
Yeah, he's got his brand to push, and in large part, I think, let's be straight, he's got money. That's the short answer
to how he can
present himself to the media. Like, he has money. He has.
It's pretty much the answer to all these questions.
That's pretty much the answer to all this. He's the son of a very rich person, all right? That means he's got money and he's got connections. That's how he gets these positions. And I don't mean to say anything particularly mean to the guy because I've never met him. I don't really give a shit about him. But that's how he gets this stuff. It helps him. He sells his lifestyle brand in part because he's already rich. That's how it goes.
Get paid.
Do you think that a part of the anger towards him that does get espoused, and some by you guys, is that he is selling a complete fantasy version of what Japan is actually like to people who are extremely likely to believe that already? Like, Japan is a nonstop science fiction convention, and...
He absolutely is.
Yeah. So, I mean, that must be part of why people are... You know, some people are upset with it.
I think it's part... I mean, I wrote an article about Akihabara and about how ridiculous it was and how it was basically an excuse for for Western people to make money off of Japan. And the idea that people in Japan could make money off of the idea that being otaku is cool, or anime fans are cool. And that fundamentally, it's not really that cool, and it's not really that interesting as a place. Like, it is fundamentally just a mall for people to buy anime shit. And I think that Danny Chu has basically created an idea that it is far more interesting than it actually is.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that he's created the idea.
Well,
cashing in like hell.
He's definitely cashed in the idea. There are multiple people, and I think there are multiple people that have definitely created the idea that Akihabara is a far more interesting place than it actually is.
He just sells. He sells. The idea that he sells is not particularly interesting, and it's demeaning, not just to, you know, the place, but more it's demeaning to the fans who buy into that, I think. It sells this idea of, you know, all you really got to do to be cool is to buy all this anime shit and show off how much anime shit you bought, and that is what makes you, you know, the super fan. That's what makes you the best. It's also why Tokyo Pop is terrible. Was terrible.
The whole thing, it sells a society short. It sells the buyer short. It's such an underestimation. I don't know how else to put it. It seems to be the way to make money in the U.S. anime crowd. So be it, but it still makes me sad that that's all it is to people. That's all the country is to people. I mean, saying that as a cartoon fan seems hypocritical, but it gives me this uneasy feeling.
I gotta say, there are very strong parallels here between this and what, say, Sex and the City does to Manhattan. Very similar. Selling this fantasy lifestyle to people who just need that fantasy in their lives, I guess.
Yeah,
and but they're not going to be born into that lifestyle.
Right, and unless you're born into it in this country, especially, you are fucked.
I think we had also with that, with my article about Akihabara, was that people assumed that I absolutely hated Akihabara, and I don't really think that was necessarily true. It was just a matter of the fact that you realized that in Western media, that was so misrepresented, and it was so perceived as being this like amazing place for otaku, and it was just like this haven for people, that maybe it's not that amazing. It fundamentally, it's just a place to buy shit. I mean, really, it is just a place to buy whatever anime shit you want.
Well, I've been there a couple of times, and it's a little more than that. It is definitely a geek center, and that is, you feel, I can imagine someone who is a Japanese otaku going there and feeling like he is among his own, and therefore feels more at home and feels accepted, maybe not in anything more than an internal sort of existential way. It is a little more than just a mall where you go and buy stuff. I mean, they have a throne made out of Famicom cartridges. How can you not like that?
But I do want to go to that store. I want to go to Akiba.
It's a fun place to go. I enjoy it every time I go. But I can see... But you're right. It's also not this fantasy otaku paradise with anime characters dancing in the streets and asking you if you want to go out on a date or whatever. That's not what it is. It is.
I just need to get over there and meet the maid of my dreams. And
yeah, yeah. It's not any of that.
Pick Famicom cartridges out of the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's not any of that. It's a little more than just a mall, but it's not what's being sold here. So I see what you're saying. From the Big N, he wants to know if there's anything wrong with expecting too much from an anime series in terms of wanting it to be different from the norm.
No.
No. So that's a one-word answer. No. Okay. Also from the Big N, let's start with David on this. What tends to define a good or quality show among members of the Colony Drop team?
Now I have to think about the ritual that we perform every season, as I'm sure you also do, where we sit around the chart and wonder to ourselves which one of these is going to be good and what actually turns out to be good. Among the Colony Drop crew, I wouldn't say we have a very fixed, like, team opinion, so to speak. Case in point, again, with Madoka, only Jeff and I were watching that show or would have watched that show in that particular group. Things we can agree on are, you know, easy sci-fi fan things like Gundam Unicorn, even though I believe opinions have diverged about that. I haven't watched the second or third episode quite yet.
Really? You haven't watched the episode?
I haven't watched the second episode of Gundam Unicorn. I'm all
around. I haven't watched the second, at least.
Ah, you guys were so mad about it.
It still sucks. Guess what?
Really disappointing.
Oh, God, I thought you liked the first episode of Gundam Unicorn.
The first episode was okay, but finally you realize that they're just selling you the same shit again and again and again.
Well, the CG ships are ugly. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's just that one's just kind of by the numbers Gundam. It's like if you know what they did is they've sat down and said, okay, how do we make the first Gundam show again? And then they made it again. And you're like,
this is a
well-produced version of a thing I have already loved for years, except it's not as interesting.
Well, let me tell you, though, that's not, I mean, yeah, you're right, but it's also well-produced, and it's, I think, more for people who didn't watch the first one or aren't really Gundam fans, because I'm not really a big Gundam fan, and I enjoy the crap out of it. I think it's
weird
a lot of fun.
In that it seems to be trying to go both ways on that.
You're right.
It is definitely not particularly, yeah. It definitely is trying to go in both ways.
I mean, it's not awful. It's just,
it's not great.
We're talking about something else.
I believe, Jeff, it was you who said, we got what we want, and
I don't know.
Well, I'll let you guys know when I watch it. It'll happen.
But anyway, so, Sean, do you have an answer, particularly what constitutes good or quality?
For what?
Anime in general.
That was the original question. What defines a good or quality show for you?
That's a weird question.
It is.
I really don't have an answer for that.
Well, I guess
I think fundamentally, probably stuff maybe for 1985. Probably a lot better.
Okay.
Genre pre-95.
Pre-95 would probably be my answer for that.
I found this new pre-95 novel.
Okay. All right, I'll stop asking you those questions. Jeff, you have a particular requirement?
I'm going to give the boring answer, which is the honest one, which is that either it looks enough like something I already like that I'm going to be able, I think, you know, this is, it's enough like something I already like that I'm comfortable enough to watch it, like, you know, a genre I like. If it's a robot show, I'll probably at least give it a chance. Robot shows are more likely than not to at least be watchable, you know. Things like that, you know, if it's got, you know, hot looking guys, you know, doing stuff, it's probably gonna be better, more likely than not, you know, that sort of thing.
Jeff does he really likes hot looking guys.
The funny thing is that Jeff hates Star Driver.
Really?
Yeah,
I have not
been
Star
a recipe
Driver.
For Jeff, and yet
it doesn't always work.
I'm excited to see that. I haven't watched it yet. I didn't bother with it when it came out on Fansub only. I was kind of hoping it was gonna get streamed, and then.
Nope, that one was big budget, not happening.
Yeah, well, it's coming out
it's
now,
Aniplex.
So...
Most of their stuff doesn't stream these days, I think.
Yeah, well, plenty of it does.
Well, I mean, they're big stuff. Like, this might go outside the realm of, you know, this show might appeal to someone other than, like, a complete otaku. That stuff doesn't get streamed so much.
Right, yeah, that's true. Okay. Long question from ABCB Tom, so let me get through this.
This guy loves us.
Okay. He's looking at Shido Takusei, and he noticed a quote from a blog about how real women could never live up to the beauty of a Moe figurine. This was disturbing, so I went to the link site and saw after looking that the blog site was run by a teenage girl who also posted about how she didn't look like Japanese teenagers or fashion models. Was this investigated before the link to the site was set up? Is making fun of teenage girls with body image issues considered acceptable intellectual discourse? How does this differ from cyberbullying?
I think the firm
is
issue.
Shido Takusei intellectual discourse?
I don't think it is.
Neither do I.
No, I think it's absolutely, you say dumb shit, we're going to repost it, and we're going to enjoy it. Like, there's nothing particularly intellectual or smart about it. We're reposting what people say. We're not really judging it. We're not really saying this is bad or this is good. We're just saying,
and we absolutely don't do things like link back to the website and then say, hey, make fun of this awful person.
Yeah.
We are posting the moments in time verbatim. So yeah. I really think the whole cyberbullying statement is really disingenuous, because we have no such intentions and never did and do not do that.
It's absolutely ridiculous. We're just absolutely reposting what people are already saying.
People
are already posting us on a public forum.
Well, you do link back to the site.
Yeah, because they're posting on a public website, either on whatever form it is. It is absolutely public.
Is that just for so people know you're not making it up?
We're not making it up.
Yes, that's basically the reason. We want people to say that, no, this was said. Because if we don't have that, then we're going to get into this lame book situation, for example, where people are just going to be concocting things. And we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that's okay. I could see that. But maybe you could go like, I mean, just because I could see, like, I understand what you're saying. I totally get your point. But I could see, like, a lot of these people are just, like, dumb. They're kids. They're teenagers. You know, they.
Absolutely.
I feel so happy that I was a teenager when this shit did not exist. So not every stupid thing that ever ran through my head is archived forever on the internet. So happy about that.
I think the same thing is, whoops, like, that's. It is, though.
Right. Had you considered ever going, like, the screen capture route or something like that?
No.
No? Just...
Might not be a bad idea, but we do like the bolding thing.
The bolding is hilarious, and finally, it is what they say on the public forum. Like, I don't know what else beyond that we can say. Like, it is just... That's what they say. We're not really judging them. We're not really...
Well...
Creating... beyond the bolding, we're not really creating a sarcastic response, so we're not really saying, oh, these people are ridiculous, these people are stupid. We're just posting it on a public forum.
And getting back to the core statement, even, the quote in that post, it's a pretty common one. It's one you hear all the time. So, I don't know, to turn it into a situation where we are ragging on a particular person, like Shido Takusei is often common phrases, like, this won't... this 3D will never match up to my 2D reality, and nobody can love me like my hug pillow. There are phrases that just run through the fan culture.
Yeah, it's just like fan culture memes almost, you know, the whole 2D waifu forever thing. It's not really intended as much. In a lot of these cases, we're just picking a representative quote we could have picked from a dozen different posts or whatever, saying essentially the exact same thing. This was just the one we saw. It's not really... In a lot of these cases, it's not a unique message that's being said. It's certainly not intended as a personal matter, I don't think. And
yeah. Except for the ones about the earthquake. Those are personal.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Frankly, fuck those guys. Fuck those people. They're jerks.
I don't think I've even seen this example in question, so I've kind of... I'm out of the
loop. It was a very typical one. Not really like one of the ones that stood out, but... It was something along the lines of, I was looking at my PVC figures today, and I realized that nothing could measure up. I didn't even realize this was a statement made by a girl, because, you know, could have just as easily been a Danny Chu art.
I would have assumed it was made by the stereotypical loveless male anime fan, you know?
Right.
Yeah, well, the idea is, coming from a girl is maybe a little bit more depressing, but it is no less mind-blowingly weird.
It's still weird, even if there's something sad behind it. It's kind of weird and funny. And
well, so ABCB Tom's final thought is, what are you trying to contribute to otaku discourse with the site?
I think
laughs.
He laughs. Okay. It would be jokes,
chuckles, guffaws.
The truth is that we don't really owe any sort of actual discourse to anybody. We're not really. I don't see what the belief that we owe anyone beyond the fact that we're entertaining ourselves.
Well, let me tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking as somebody who has dealt with this for a very long time, the minute people know who you are and recognize your name or recognize your site or recognize your writing, certain people will immediately start telling you that you are responsible to their personal set of rules for how someone who is visible should behave. I get told all the time that it is not my place to have an opinion on anime because I'm supposed to be some impartial ambassador that only sells that only tells people to buy. I've gotten that through the last decade of my life, is people telling me I should behave one way or the other, and I owe people this or I owe people that. And now that you're visible, you're going to get people telling you how you should behave and what the right thing for you to do with this quote-unquote power that you have is. And that's everybody. Anyone who's a visible writer gets that. Okay, Hazukari, quick question. Would the unedited cut of Perfect Blue be better of the two to show at my college's anime club? I'm going to go with edited for a college anime club.
The extended violence scene, right? I don't think I've ever actually seen the cut version, so I don't know what's different about it.
Nor have I, but I've seen Perfect Blue recently. And college anime club and extended disturbing rape scene, you know. We'll run the edited cut.
It only in context does that rape scene is very intense and effective,
yes,
and horrifying.
Oh,
and
yes,
in context,
it's absolutely
very effective. Yes.
And in context, it's like, holy shit. But if someone were to walk in, oh, God.
Precisely. I can't imagine the kind of reactions. And you don't know who's going to be in your crowd. And there's all these icky things about it.
I haven't
you
seen
have
the edited
prepared
cut,
for.
But I would leer on the side of the edited cut, just, you know, hoping it doesn't change significant amounts of the film or anything, just because I figure for this environment, it's probably better.
Right. Well, we're pro-censorship.
Yep.
Yes, we are.
Nazis, a lot of us. Okay. Hisui RT, what's the best and worst mecha shows ever created? It's kind of a complicated question. So,
hi, Al.
Briefly, anybody want to take that briefly?
I can take this into my favorite mecha anime is Gunbuster, and the worst mecha anime I've ever seen is the second season of Gundam 00, because I haven't seen Seed Destiny.
Anyone else?
You know, I'm gonna have to say Seed Destiny, because I actually watched part of that. You know, that's the worst. I've seen some bad robot shows, but if I had to pick one that I think sort of stands out for maybe like the most damage to a show I was actually kind of enjoying previously, you know, as a follow up, it's really damaging. It's like a fantastic example of the bad sequel. You know, it's like if I had to point to one thing and say, that show was so bad, I liked Gundam Seed the first season less because I watched part of it. Didn't watch
right,
all of it.
That's like the effect that these bad second parts of long things have, because it was the feeling I got from watching season 2 of Gundam 00 that this like really invalidates those other 13 hours that I really enjoyed. Or Eating of the East movie that invalidated that TV series that I enjoyed.
Still haven't seen that.
That's the worst. It's the worst kind of sequel disappointment, because it goes back and tears those moments away from you. Just like the Star Wars prequels.
Maybe I'll stay
Or the Matrix.
Or yes, the Matrix sequels.
Hey,
great example.
I stand by my opinion. I liked The Matrix Reloaded. Can't help it. I thought it was okay. I thought it was fun.
It's fun in parts.
The third one, though.
It can be fun. And Revolutions isn't capable of being fun.
God, it's bad. Okay, Alphonse 0079. Can an anime series ever become redundant?
Yes.
Yes.
Every week.
I would say that the most redundant anime show of all time is Beat the Vandal Buster.
What?
Gonna throw that out there.
I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of seeing that, but I think I saw some Rave Master once. I think it's worth talking about the same level here.
Exactly, right. Ouch. The C-level shonen show that's like not quite good enough to be up there with, you know, with a One
Just
Piece
good enough to get an anime, not good enough for anyone to actually care about it. Yeah.
To right. exist, yeah. Those are the
cartoon exists, kids. Yeah.
In another sense of redundant, you can have something like, for me at least, the original Mobile Suit Gundam movies there, the ones that make up the TV series there. For me, they make the original Gundam TV series entirely redundant because the movies do it all more focused in less time, you know, with better production values. For me, they sort of just completely supplant the original.
Well, so the TV series is sort of a curiosity for me. I can't help but love it because it has all the growing pains that came before the movies. You know, it has the G armor, the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah, I'll
I guess
give
all
you
the things
that
I like about it are bad.
All right, Zero Intelligence. Any mech games you would recommend playing? And is there a Gao Gaigar figure out there? I would imagine so, because that show was created to sell toys.
Let's see, Virtual On. Play Virtual On, kids.
Oh, you beat me to it. I just reviewed a Virtual On toy over at Astro Toy, and, well, I like Virtual On. As far as mech games that you can get right now, yeah, absolutely. If you have an Xbox, hop on Marketplace, go buy Virtual On or Itario Tangram. It's a fantastic, very simple, very straightforward action game. There is a game for the PC by some indie developers whose name is escaping me that looks like my next big giant robot fix. I think it's
Hawken. That game looks really
Hawken.
Good.
Oh boy, I'm
it
on that train.
Reminds me a lot of Phantom Crash on the original Xbox, which is this
yes, very
really
much so.
Kind of weird mecha game. You made like these little tiny robots, I guess more like Vodom scale, you know, where you just
yeah, like these bouncy clunker robots.
Yep, just fighting out in like the wrecked remains of like post-apocalypse Tokyo or something, you know, just a bunch of kids having a good time piloting death machines and blood sports, you know.
Death machines and blood sports are good all times. And as for the Gao Gaigar figure question, you know, they'll be continuing to make Gao Gaigar figures until the heat death of the universe. So, not too worried about that. Personally, I have the old Max Factory Gouken figure that cost me, like, $200, and is absolutely beautiful, but you're not going to find something like that anymore. Bandai is putting them out. I believe Bandai is putting out the Gaigar robots in the Super Robot Shogokin line. Wait a little while. It'll come.
Okay. All right. Reason behind the name Colony Drop, Ludono asks, this is a Gundam reference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That and somebody owned the domain name. That's it.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
From Scotty415, did anyone from Colony Drop buy the Garden of Sinners box? And do you think the title was worth that kind of money?
God, I was tempted, and then I realized that would be fucking insane. I enjoyed those movies.
It.
You know what? I thought about it. I thought real heavily, and then I said, you know what? That shit is $600. No.
$400, Jeff. $400.
Oh, excuse me. That's right. The American price was $400. It was still too much.
It was $400 for about a month, and then you couldn't buy it.
So. Right. If it had been $200 even, I might have said yes. Straight up, I'm a Type Moon fan, all right? I would have paid out that. But, you know, $400, you know, it's I like them. But you know what I would like better? If you put them out in the affordable form, like maybe you could like put out a DVD set that's like maybe $80 or something, or maybe release the movies individually. I realize it's kind of a radical idea, and this was pretty much just a, you know, hey, let's cut out CD Japan's markup and just get the five guys who are going to buy it in America to buy it direct from us anyway. But still, you know, come on.
And what we're asking for isn't even like, you know, a Funimation bottom of the barrel, cheapest possible kind of release. We are willing to pay up for the things we like, but we're not willing to pay Japan prices. Let's all just say it. We're not willing to pay Japan prices. I loved Panty and Stocking. I have my panty and stocking coffee mug right here. I drink out of it every morning. And I'm still not going to pay $100 for two episodes of Panty and Stocking on Blu-ray. It's just never, ever in a zillion years going to happen.
Is that what they're charging, or is that an exaggeration?
Yeah, it really is. $100 Blu-rays.
I mean, have you seen the yen exchange rate?
No,
the yen is, it's 80 yen to the dollar right now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, we're talking about 8,000 yen discs, so...
Wow. Okay.
J-List, I think, is selling them for like 125, so...
All yeah. right. Andre Comics says, may as well toss in a horrible question. What's your favorite Masami Obari-related anime?
I'm so glad Masami Obari came up before. The Fatal Fury stuff.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I love that stuff.
No.
Sean won't talk about the Fatal Fury anime. Because, okay, video game anime adaptations, we'll talk about them really quick. They are stupid little things. I love, for example, the Street Fighter II movie. It's no masterpiece of cinema. But it's entertaining. And most of those movies fail on even that regard. Now, the Fatal Fury stuff is stupid, but it's fun. It does what it's supposed to, which is have guys fighting. It's got Obari's distinctive style all over the place, even in the really grotesque places like mine. And it's a fun, stupid, shitty movie that I could watch on an afternoon with my friends. And that's really all I ask of video game adaptations.
Sean, Jeff.
Games is art.
I'm going to have to go with the same thing. You know, that's, I love what he did with the robot designs in like the new Super Robot Wars show. You know, he put nipples on the feminine robots. You know, good shit. But,
they weren't
you
there
know, he made them pronounced, you know? But I'm going to have to say the Fatal Fury movie as well is my favorite.
And,
Sean?
Yeah.
Sean? Absolutely. Bogum Crisis episode 6 and 7.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It has to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
Absolutely.
I
animation
hear that.
Director for that. Yeah. Absolutely. Most likely.
All right. Well, I'm going to say Battle Arena Toshinden. No.
Oh.
You're a rough man, Zach.
Bad choice.
Of course not. That would be terrible.
Was that the first anime DVD, I think?
I
wonder when Sony's going to bring that shit back.
It's a matter of time.
All right.
Wait for the Blu-ray.
Too Lazy to Be Otaku says, Vocaloid, precursor to the music apocalypse, or revolutionary musical achievement that serves to bring artistic creation to all?
It's Sharon Apple, isn't it?
Yeah, I was about to say, Vocaloid's not a new idea at all. It's just a new execution of an old idea. The virtual idol, which has been around since, what, the late 70s?
Killer maybe? Marketing on that, though. I got a hand to those guys. They fucking know their shit. I hope they gave that guy who drew character design, like, big-ass fucking raise.
I hope that dude doesn't have to work again. If anybody in otaku culture doesn't need to work again... He should really be the guy who drew Hatsune Miku. He should just be able to walk away in 7 cars at the same time. He should just be able to lie down over his convertibles.
Right, so not a revolutionary idea, but perhaps a revolutionary execution of said idea.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think they're the closest to that sci-fi, you know, virtual idol thing that has existed for so long. They are, after all, the people who pack coliseums to watch a hologram or... watch projection on the wall, and good on them, frankly. Get money, get paid.
Right. All right. And finally, from Dro0P, he says, if he enjoys writing, should I get a major in something related to that or brush up on my skills on my own and not waste money?
Sweet God, don't major in English.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah. Don't ever expect to make money off of anime.
Well, it means writing in general.
Yeah.
But especially not writing about anime.
Definitely not.
Let's keep it real, gang.
Honestly...
Public service statement for the kids.
I really can't say that it's a bad idea to take classes. That's where you're going to hone your skills. That's an instructor is sort of invaluable, and most people these days don't even know what it's like to work with someone who's even a peer editor.
I'll say this. If it interests you, You should definitely take classes in it. You should definitely take advantage of whatever resources you can to practice and train your skill. But as like a focus of study, as a thing you're going to get a piece of paper on and then throw yourself out into this god-awful job market to try and find something, it's a terrible choice. It's an excellent skill to have.
Don't break the bank on it.
Yeah. it's a very undervalued skill. It's a great skill to have, but you're going to be fucked if it's the only thing that you can provide a piece of paper that says you can do, unless you know someone.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if there weren't, like, community college classes now on slightly rewriting press releases about Marvel movie casting choices. Like, a lot of people seem...
That's the best writing job you can get.
Right now, it seems like that's the most bankable one.
The pay must be awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah. But, I mean, I would say, yeah, like you said, if you love it, if you're really interested in it, take some classes, but don't bet your future on it.
Exactly. Don't bet your life on it because, yeah, your life.
It's not a career. The internet has destroyed that as a career. Okay, well, guys, that about wraps it up. I want to thank all of you for being here. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed talking to you guys, and thanks for coming on.
We try to be fun.
Hey, it's good to be here. I apologize in advance.
Okay, that's our show. I want to thank David, Jeff, and Sean for joining me. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, leave us a rating and a review. We'd appreciate it. See you all next time.